This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. A very different moment of truth for the nation of Syria in a year where the mission to eradicate chemical weapons from the world has taken an enormous step forward, even if the progress in the civil war has been hard to see. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons won the Nobel Peace Prize for its work in the raging battlefields of Syria. More work to be done. It will be completed as part of a remarkable collaboration between the United Nations and the OPCW. The UN Special Coordinator for the joint mission is Sigrid Kaag, who spoke very candidly about an amazing year and the sobering challenges of trying to work in a war zone and retain the identity of being neutral.
I lead the joint OPCW-UN mission, but I come at it as a UN staff member, but I can only be, as a colleague in the international community, can only be in admiration and awe of the very quiet and silent and highly technical work OPCW has carried out throughout the years. The awarding of the Nobel Peace Prize, I think, is the accolade on years of work, achievement, and an important contribution to the non-proliferation agenda where chemical weapons are concerned. It's been quite a year, I think, for all of us in the international community, UN colleagues and OPCW colleagues alike, and I speak here for the joint mission members in Syria, where important milestones are being met. Tremendous work takes place under very difficult and challenging conditions, but I think each and every staff member of my team, they believe this contribution is extremely important for the people of Syria, for the region, but also for the global community.
How much of the Syrian experience do you think is an outlier, a one-time experience, and how much of what you're learning now and what you're experiencing in this collaboration is going to be passed on to future dealings with weapons of mass destruction?
Well, OPCW is operating on the basis of the convention, and state parties, when they declare their chemical weapons arsenal and they accede to the convention and obviously ratify and want to implement the elimination of the chemical weapons program, there's a whole process for that. OPCW supports a number of countries in this regard. It verifies and inspects. So I think the Syria experience, what you're probably hinting at, is really the collaboration between OPCW and UN in a very unique but very challenging setting where a country at war, under civil war conditions, has actually acceded to the convention and is in full implementation of the elimination of its chemical weapons program. The UN and OPCW have other experiences of collaboration, for instance, in Libya and in Iraq, but it's a different model. Here we are truly integrated in a joint mission, and I'm very honored to be able to lead the mission in country.
I mean, in many ways, you're writing the rule book for future generations of how to deal in the middle of a war with something like this.
Well, I wouldn't call that a rule book. As you know, it's an unprecedented effort under unprecedented circumstances. So I'm not quite sure if one would necessarily seek to repeat this. However, we are experiencing and we're learning as we apply, and with the support of the Security Council and the international community, we are obviously forging ahead. But I wouldn't call it a rule book.
Would you say lessons can be learned from what you've learned in Damascus, and describe for us just exactly what's transpired really in the last few weeks?
In any operation, particularly the one we are implementing right now, there are tremendous lessons to be learned, both in terms of organizational collaboration, political support, the assistance by the international community, and very much how one deals with unexpected circumstances on the ground. I've just returned from Damascus, where my headquarters are, and Damascus, of course, is a city where certain areas or the suburbs of Damascus, there's daily shelling, security conditions are very tense, but we shouldn't forget the broader context of Syria, the villages that are impossible to reach, hard to reach, areas where innocent civilians are living in very difficult conditions. But that is not within the purview of our mission. We are very focused on a modest but significant contribution to the peace and security agenda, which is the elimination of chemical weapons in Syria.
Is there a place, a location, a facility that you want to go to that you haven't been able to go to yet?
Well, the inspectors, the joint mission personnel, they verify and inspect all the declared sites. There are three sites we have not been able to physically inspect. Two, however, we've been able to verify, and that means we have designated cameras that are given to Syrian personnel that have gone to verify to demonstrate to the joint mission what is there in terms of chemical agents and to give us the information that is needed to give guidance on the correct removal to out of country as part of the overall removal of the most harmful chemical agents. There is one site we have neither been able to verify nor inspect. Inspection means physical presence. So that is still pending, but we are hopeful that ultimately we'll get there. The risks are twofold. One of them is the inability to access because the security conditions are such it is potentially in opposition-held territory, so the government can't go. And under the convention, it is the government responsibility and role to not only create access, but also to be responsible for the elimination of the chemical weapons program. Secondly, we have a number of concerns, and that applies not only to the joint mission staff, but to the humanitarian actors that are working in Syria. You could be at the wrong place at the wrong time, particularly when shelling takes place. So the mission is then not targeted, but people could inadvertently become victims of shelling, mortars, grenades, and we happen to be in passage. So that's why we didn't take the risk, but it's under constant revision and review to make sure that we can go at the right time in order to document and record that all sites have been accessed, verified, and inspected. And for that, we have a final timeline of 30th of June, 2014.
Well, you've certainly given us a picture of the danger that you and your team experience occasionally, if not daily, inside Syria in performing this mission. I'm wondering, with the understanding that you have to be circumspect here, if you could expand on that a little bit. Do people on the streets of Syria, whether they're combatants or not, do they consider you on a side? Do they consider you a neutral party here? How hard is it for you to maintain a sense of complete neutrality between the opposition and the government?
Being UN and OPCW, we are neutral, impartial, and obviously always independent. We have a mission to fulfill. We hope through constant outreach and obviously success on the ground that slowly but surely the broader population appreciates this is a mission for them. This is to make the country safer. This is to make the region safer. However, we're also living and working in countries, not just Syria, where UN personnel, for instance, is considered by extremist group a legitimate target. And that is something that is very hard to mitigate against. We can apply and adapt all best security measures, which we continue to do at any given point in time. But at the end of the day, we live by our mission and our mandate, and we need to communicate around that effectively. We need to be understood. We try to engage in outreach, and ultimately we need to sort of work on that premise.
Is it difficult to remain neutral about monsters who would use these kinds of weapons on their own people?
Our mission is very clear, and we are very committed to implement the mission, which is elimination of chemical weapons. We are an implementation mission as mandated by the Security Council, and we're very firm in our adherence to the Security Council Resolution 2118 and the Executive Council decision.
Which is a very dispassionate statement of the value of this mission, maintaining that tone of clarity and neutrality in order to get weapons away from people who could be harmed in the thousands, if not even more. Would you say that's what is so valuable about this mission ultimately?
Well, you know, it's hard under very challenging circumstances. I come from a humanitarian background. It's very hard not to be affected or impacted, and that's why you need to rise above the level of what any individual may feel and be very clear on what you're doing for other people. Others suffer. We are there to alleviate that. We are there to make Syria and the region a somewhat safer place through the elimination of chemical weapons.
Somewhat safer place. We'll have to accept that here in this very, very difficult century. We can certainly admire your work and your mission, though, and congratulate you on a very, very historic year, Sigurd Kog.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.